think more of Avodah Zarah here? Sorry, I'm going to get a second.
Okay, I'll get
Torah Way, Northwest London, Monday, Gimel Av, the 12th of July. Rav Ilan Halberstadt Shlita. Is it allowed to discuss sport?
Is it okay to follow sport?
Is it okay to follow sport?
Okay, Rabbeisai. So, today's topic is it okay to follow sport? Now, I wanted to mention this. So the question is a loaded question, and really the answer is like most things. It depends who's asking. And let's try and speak about what's the issue, what's the inyan that we're referring to. In other words, is it bad or is it not bad? You might say there's nothing harmful about it. There's no avera of following sport. You're not doing anything wrong. And on the contrary, let's say you're speaking to somebody who's, a teenager. You could argue there's a lot worse things they could be doing. Certainly a lot worse things they could be doing. There's no avera per se. And, you know, there's so much schmutz and garbage out there. Let them at least follow sport. It's harmless and, you know, so they'll feel a little bit depressed when the team loses, but no, you know, it'll teach them a bit about life.
Don't
rub it in. You know, it'll teach them about life, etc. And perhaps that would be true for certain teenagers, who could be and probably might be doing things that are a lot worse. Then one has to know who's asking the question and where the question is coming from. And therefore, if it's for that type of person, yeah, it could be absolutely harmless and definitely keeps them away from things that are actually, you know, problematic. This is relatively good and wonderful in comparison. So the question is then, with a reality check, is there anything wrong? Is there anything wrong? You know, what's wrong? Is it just harmless? And what about if you're an adult and we're trying to speak to somebody with a bit of seichel? Is it harmless fun, or is it something that that is a little bit different for a yid? Now, so let's speak about it a little bit. It's a subtlety here, because as we said, there's no avera that you can point to immediately. I mean, you could say bittul zman, but you know, there's a lot of bittul zman that we could talk about. That's not nothing to do with sport, and therefore let's speak about certain ikrim. Well, a lot of people, when they say, well, you know what, I don't know what they're doing, you know, it's all a load of rubbish, because it's just a stupid game, and why do people get so excited about a game, and really it's nonsense. Really it's nonsense. Now, the truth is, that's not the greatest argument either, because you're implying, if you say that to somebody who's a big fan, you're implying that, you know, there's nothing in it, and it's all garbage, and, you know, there's nothing to it. What do you mean there's nothing to it? It's extremely gripping. It's very gripping. Why would thousands of people spend a ridiculous amount of money? Millions of people spend a ridiculous amount of money. Are they going, like, why is it so gripping? If it's so nonsense, why is it so gripping? It obviously has something to it. And that's bechlal in Avodas Hashem, to call the Yetzer Hara nonsense in terms of, Yetzer Hara, it's nothing. Well, you got this taiva because you want this, that, and the other. That's nonsense. It's not nonsense. The Yetzer Hara is very powerful. To just throw it off and to say that there's nothing in it is to say that the Yetzer Hara has no power. And that's not true. It is gripping. But it is also nonsense. Why? Because it's gripping about things that are in your seichel. Everybody realizes it's total dimion. It's total imagination. There's absolutely nothing in it. It's being completely gripped by something which is efes v'ayim. It means nothing. It's meaningless, even in terms of, you know, you can't even say that, okay, if it's your business, then okay, that's about the only meaning. If you own stadiums, then perhaps, you know, for you it's a little bit more meaningful. But even there, the meaning is not is only because it gives you parnasa, right? That's a little bit something. But in terms of actual life itself, there's nothing here of any substance or value, and yet it's so gripping. So you'll say, well, what's harmless about that? Sorry, what's harmful about that? Surely it's harmless. The problem is, because Baruch Hu gives us certain koiches, he gives us capabilities, and he gives us emotions, he gives us headspace and seichel, and these things have to be invested in real causes, and if they're invested in other things, then it totally takes you on a trip in the world of what's called Dimyon. So you have people, I mean, this is it, the reality is, you have people that are so gripped, and people who are in the actual heart, the nucleus of the Dimyon itself, it is so powerful that you've got grown adults who will be crying away, who'll be crying because the team lost. And it's not, they're not crying because it doesn't affect them. That's why they're crying. You're talking about people that wouldn't cry if you beat them to a pulp, they probably wouldn't cry. But now all of a sudden it stirs. It's so, a person only cries when it hits a core. Right? When it hits a core, something very emotional, a person cries. So here this is hitting your core, which means this is going straight to your very heart itself, and it's manipulating it, and it's causing you to react to something which is absolutely nothing. And you know what? It's also the same thing that the world does out there with films. A guy will be watching a film, and it's a, I don't know, it's a horror movie, and he's sweating away, he's physically reacting, well, he's crying because of these are people acting on, so they're not even real. You know they're not real. You know their real life name, and you know other. It's all completely fake and Dimyon, and they still manage, and with knowing that in your brain, it's like unbelievable, with knowing that in your mind, that this is all fiction, total fiction, nobody's hiding, nobody's pretending that it's real, right? It's total fiction, but you'll still find yourself emotionally moved by fiction. That's absurd, because what you're doing is you're taking a koyach that Hashem has given you, and you're investing it in something which is, according to everybody, nobody would argue, it's fiction. Fiction means it's not real. It's hevel avonim. And you're therefore investing so much of what Hashem has given you into something which doesn't exist. So it's not just harmless in terms of, well, what's a bit of sport, a bit of fun. Everybody likes a bit of fun. That's fine. And we're not talking about sport in terms of exercise. That's a different story completely. If you're doing exercise, that's nishmat umayis nafsho seichem. That's a different story. That's already a value. That's a Torah value. A value to be able to exercise. I once asked with Moshe Shapiro, I said to him, you know, if somebody's mum is trying to learn all the time and really trying to use his hours to the fullest, does he, you know, is he potter from exercise? I meant it seriously. Like, if a person's really Isaac, he just said to me, Tzarich lefanot zman lezeh. You have to make time for this. That's it. You have to make time. He didn't say any more. Meaning, it's also part of a cheshbon, of a person being healthy. But that's nothing to do with what we're talking about now. That's not sport in terms of keeping healthy, because that's a real value. It's in terms of following sport. Following sport is the same as following fiction. It's the same as following anything else. It means your mind, and not just your mind, your heart, your whole being. Look around. People are emotionally depressed today. They're depressed. You'll see people are absolutely under the floorboards. Why? Because of a game. And again, don't get me wrong. It's not that the game wasn't gripping. It's gripping. That's exactly the problem. The problem is it's not nonsense. The problem is it is powerful. So you take all these kochas. Hashem has given you kochas of emotions and intelligence. And all these things are now being channeled in the direction of hevel havolim. And you can't operate in the real world because you're busy sucked into the world of Dimyon, which is how it works in all of Western society. Whether you're talking about sports, whether you're talking about films, movies, whatever, whether you're talking about advertising, they do the same thing as well. They play on your Dimyon. If you don't have our latest product with my label on it, it's absolutely no difference. Oh yeah, the quality is better. Yeah, as if, right? If you don't have my products, they play on your Dimyon, they play on your imagination, they bring you into their world of thoughts, of their ideology, and you have to buy into what they say, and they make money off you and us and the rest of everybody else. And that's the antithesis of being an emistic person. Emes means you have to be in the world of reality. And If you're telling me you want to have a break and everything else, that's one thing, but those are all excuses. And again, I'm not talking to children, I'm not talking to teenagers. Teenagers, you have to know who you're speaking to. There's no point telling a teenager who has no kalim to be able to understand this or hear this. You have to be able to speak to each person at their level. But in reality, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with taking a person's emotions and taking a person's intellect and investing it into the world of heaven. But there's another point as well, and this is absolutely fascinating. Rabbi, so why? Why do people get so excited about a national game? A national game. Now, it's very simple. It's not the game per se, because the very same game in Hendon Park would have not attracted anybody. You know, Sunday afternoon, it could be that you would have seen a better game in the park. More skill, it could have been the actual game itself. It's not the game. You've got to start with something. Okay, it's a game, it's enjoyable, it's good, it's quality, fine. But it's not the game, and it's not even the number of people. Because the equivalent thing, if it wouldn't have been a national team, you could have more people in the stadium, whatever it is. And it's not, it has more pull when there's more people, but what is it that is, what makes it so powerful when it's national? I'll tell you what it is. It's called Malchus. It's called Malchus. Malchus means royalty. Now, there is a concept in Torah. All these are based in the Torah concept. The Torah concept of Malchus is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is grand. Is grand. Now, that's the ultimate Malchus. But there is a fake Malchus. There is an alternate Malchus, which is actually very real and so real that it's alive and well. Meaning, you know, people go to war. War. What is war? Why do countries fight with each other? Well, over an argument, usually, often, can be very petty. And they'll go to war, fight each other, maybe over a piece of land, maybe over an argument about something that happened. And they'll fight, and they'll go to war. Now, if you think about it, war is totally illogical. You know for sure that people are going to die. Since where? How can you do that? How can you justify people's lives? Because you have some argument with some guy about some territorial thing. Are you going to tell me that's more important than people's lives? How does anybody justify it? And by the way, if you tell me, yeah, that's crazy, I'll say to you one second, there's also a concept of Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Rosh. We also have Melchoma. You can't just chuck it out and say, well, war is a joke. It's not a joke. So, but one second, how can we justify it? Even in Torah, and Melchemes Rosh, you can go to war over something, but we know Pekuach Nefesh is Doicha Kol HaTorah Kulah. And all of a sudden, here, where there's definitely Pekuach Nefesh going to be involved, people are going to be killed. Don't kid yourself that, oh, we can only go to war. They only had to go to war because people are not going to die. That's not true. Right? You know people are going to die. But still, there is a concept of Milchama, of going to war, even in Torah. But how can that be justified? Surely life is more important. We break the whole Torah for Pekuach Nefesh. Except for the big three, of course. But this is not even one of the big three. So it becomes more difficult to understand. So what's amazing is, the reason why Melchama is so powerful is because it represents Malchus. And Malchus is bigger than life. And let me explain. The reason why we can go to Melchemes Mitzvah is because, what do Klal Yisrael represent? Malchus Shemayim. How can you put people's lives on the line? Because there is something that is more important than even a Yiddish life, which is Malchus Shemayim. Hashem's Malchus. And therefore it's not for nothing that people are proud. And this is universal. They're proud they died for their country. Now you might ask, why are they proud of that? That's ridiculous. Why did they die just for a bit of a country? Because they realize that what the country represents is something bigger than the sum of the parts. It's Malchus. It means this is royalty. Now the reason why we understand that Malchus is bigger than even a person's own life is because we can feel that, we can intuit that, but the reason why we're given that is so that we can understand that real Malchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, is bigger than life itself. Because that's the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to be able to reveal Hashem's Malchus in the world. And therefore, we'd even be prepared to give up our lives to represent Malchus Shemayim. What's the business of war? That's other people also understanding Malchus, but again, it's the fake Malchus. If they understood the real concept of the Malchus, they'd put down all their weapons and say, we've understood that Hashem is the boss, that's what real Malchus is, and we're just getting, and the Gemara says, if you see kings fighting with each other, be mitzapa for the Geula. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing out the idea of Malchus in the world. Why are they fighting with each other? Because he's trying to bring out Malchus. That's supposed to, you then realize, well, one second, why are they fighting about Malchus? They can't both be in Malchus, and they're both wrong. Because the real Malchus is Hashem's Malchus. And if they realize that, if we all realize that, there'd be no wars. And that's what Lo Asid Lava, there'll be no wars. Why? Because why would there be peace in the world? All of a sudden, everyone's going to get on. It's easy why everyone's going to get on. When you see the Ben Shalom's Malchus, there's nothing to go to war about. What they don't realize is they're going to war because they think I'm standing for my country. But they don't realize that if you understood that your country is just a snippet of Hashem's Malchus, then you wouldn't even go to war back with anybody. We're all under his banner. But this is a very important and deep point that people will even give up their lives and do for Malchus. Now, dare I say it? That's a real concept. Now, dare I say it? Have we moved into a world where sport has become Malchus? Where in a world of Dimyon, we don't have, I guess, Baruch Hashem, frequent wars where we can represent our country. But the reason why people are so patriotic when it comes to sport is not the sport, Shaboy. It's not the sport that they're really, it's the country. It's our country. It represents us, and people are so proud of their country because it's Malchus. It's something above and beyond them. And it's correct. The concept is correct, but they're making one mistake, and we are making a mistake as well. If we're proud because England, and we're proud of England, we've made a mistake. That's fake Malchus. You should be proud to be a Yid, which is the real Malchus. We have a lovely host country, and we should be grateful for the Medina that we live in, and that we can live here more or less in peace. We have Hakaras HaTov, but it ends at that. Hakaras HaTov doesn't mean that we are English. Hakaras HaTov means we recognize and we thank the English for hosting us. But we're guests. We're Yidden. And our Malchus does not lie in England. And our Malchus lies with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why it's so gripping and so powerful is because it's Malchus. And that's why. That's the lesson that we're learning. So if you take all your emotions and you invest it in the wrong Malchus, you're missing the boat on everything. Again, we're talking about on a deep level, and you might say it's harmless for a teenager. No, okay. But let's try and wake up and realize what it really is teaching us. It's teaching us what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually asking, which is, where's your real allegiance? Where's your Malchus? Where's your connection to the reality? We're adults now. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee and realize, but this is not a game. Life is not a game. Life is real. But we've turned reality into a game. It's in sports. It's in the world of the virtual reality that we live in. Now you don't even know what does virtual reality mean. Which one's the reality? We don't even know. You used to be able to say, okay, this is real and that's the virtual. Now we're not sure if this is the virtual and that's the real. It's taking concepts which are so powerful. The world is powerful. And the reason why, you know, these Facebooks and Instagrams, why are they so powerful? Because it involves so much, so grand, so big. But it's all fake. It's all Dimyon. It's using the exact same bedrock of what the world is actually created on, which is the concept of Malchus, but it's using it with Hevel HaVolim, which is what Shlomo Melech said, Hevel HaVolim. He understood, he could perceive immediately. It's all Hakol Hevel. If this is your life, this is where you hold, this is where you're invested in, it's Hakol Hevel. And this, of course, leads in to where we are in the 9 days. In the 9 days. Klal Yisrael come back on the Erev of Tisha B'Av, after the Meraglim. Heim Bochu B'chir Shel Chinom, says the Gemara in Saita. Va'ani Ekvo Lehem B'chir L'Doros. They cried B'chir Shel Chinom. Now Rabbi said that was a B'chir where they thought, and this was at least in the world of reality, but they were dimmioned. They got sucked into their imagination. In other words, they thought this was real. At least they thought it was real. They were going in and they saw Eretz Yisrael and they said, giants, and Oyvei, look at the whole land. It's terrible. And they come back and they give a bad report. What was the mistake of the Meraglim? They looked with their eyes incorrectly. They saw the materials. Look, giants, people dying. And therefore they made conclusions. They saw incorrectly and they spoke incorrectly. They saw with their eyes. Hikdim, pe'el ha'ayin. They'd already decided. They spoke with their mouths. They saw with their eyes. They saw what they wanted to see. And Tucker, that's what they saw. And that's how they then reported it. The problem was, they made a mistake with their vision. and with their speech. Instead of seeing reality, they saw what was dimyan. They were fooled. They were fooled by imagination. In other words, they misunderstood what they were looking at. And in fact, that's why. Why is it that we therefore cry? Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal used to explain. Because when you cry, bechi, two things happen. Two things happen. Actually, bechi is number one, loshon mevucha, expression of being lost. A person is lost. He comes to a dead end. And when a person cries, it's very interesting. Tears come out of his eyes. Water. He gets a blurred vision. And a real crying, he can't speak. People can't speak. If you're genuinely crying, you can't get the words out of your mouth. Blurred vision and not able to speak. That's the tikkun for the meraglim, who looked incorrectly and they spoke incorrectly. And the reason why it's the tikkun is because it's time to dissolve the way you looked at the world. You need to blur the vision that you had looked at the world with. You need to stop speaking in the way you spoke. And you need to reprogram and reset the way you look at the world and the way you speak about the world. And therefore the crying is the tikkun. The crying on Tisha B'Av is the tikkun. We cry about a world that is a broken world. That's something to cry about. Crying means this is not the way it should be. And it's crying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to hide himself more and more. And every time Hashem hides, what takes over instead of, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who leads, as it were, if you could even say such a thing, instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Imagination. Dimyan. That's the Yetzer Hara. It's all imagination. And you can live in a world where Malchus is usurped and sport becomes reality and the reality is relegated to at least second best if you would like. And that's very sad. And therefore we cry because we're trying to regain our vision and regain our perspective and regain our speech. How sad that Esav has taken over our world where imagination has become real. By the way, that is the koach of Esav. It tells about Esav, the koach of Dimyon. The Dimyon is exactly the power of the Yetzer Hara. And I always like to say an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara says that Al-Osid Lover Hashem is going to take the Yetzer Hara. He's going to shech the Yetzer Hara. And for the tzaddikim, he's going to look like a mountain. And they're going to be crying. And the Rishoyim are going to see this Yetzer Hara, and he's going to appear as a pathetic hare. As a hare. That's what it says, a hare. And they're going to be crying as well. Halalu boichim, halalu boichim. The tzaddikim are going to cry and say, how was it possible we were able to overcome this incredible mountain? How were we able to overcome? And they'll be crying. And the Rishoyim will be crying. How is it possible that we were able to fall prey to a pathetic hare? And they're both going to cry. Rabbi Yisai, what is it then? What is the Yetzer Hara? Is it a hare or is it a mountain? And why is it different for the tzaddikim and the Rishoyim? The answer is, for a tzaddik is prior to the Aveiro. Before you've done the Aveiro, what's the job of the Yetzer Hara? He blows up this, whatever Aveiro is, to the size of a mountain. I have to do this. If I don't do this, I'm not going to be living in reality. I'm going to be, I've got to. He pumps you with this imagination that's just drawn after this thing. But after the Aveiro, when the bubble is burst, and he pops the bubble, and you realize, that was nothing. It's just a hair. How was I not able to overcome the hair? The tzaddikim, who were before the Aveiro, they see it as with the Dimyon, as the man. How could we overcome that? The Rishoyim, who are after the Aveiro, they say, we did it, I'm telling you, it was nothing, it's a joke. How could we fall prey to this pathetic hair? Rabbi said, hey, listen to this PS. Esav is compared to the Yetzer Hara. This is based on the Marshal there. Esav is compared to the Yetzer Hara. Says the Marshal, you should know that Esav lives in a place called Har Seir. Because of this Gemara, the Yetzer Hara is compared to a Har, it's compared to a Seir. With what we've said, we tweet it slightly and say, the job of the Yetzer Hara is to take a hair, it's all it is, it's a hair, it's nothing, and blow it up to the size of a mountain, give you this dimion, this imagination. He lives in Har Seir, that's the job of the Yetzer Hara. He's Mr. Har Seir, man. Esav lives in Har Seir, the mountain of a hair. That's his job, to take the hair and blow it up to the size of a mountain. And if we fall prey for that, it's an embarrassment. It's a bizarre. We're living in the world of imagination, of Dimyon, of the mountain of the hair, of Har Seir, of Esav. And unfortunately, this is where we're living. In a world where sports has become malchus, and where virtual has become real. And that's called Dimyon. Al Eileh Anu Boichim. That's what we cry about. We've lost our way, and we've lost our vision. How very sad. How very, very sad that we've lost our touch. Yidden are emistic of people. We pride ourselves in knowing what is emes. And Dimyon is not emes. Let me conclude with one last comment of the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says, based on the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara Megillah says an amazing thing. The Gemara says that L'osid Lavoi, Hashem is going to turn all the Tauturois with Kaukisiois. Gemara says that these places, in the future, all the Tauturois, all the stadiums are going to become Bote Medrash. And that's where we're going to teach Torah. More or less, loose translation of the Gemara. Tauturois, Kakarois. That's what the Gemara says. Of Edom, of Rome. Shasidim Sorei Yehuda, Lelamed Ben Torah Barabim. Ksav Sofer says, why does this have to be the case? That the Torah is going to be given in the stadium. That's the Ikka. Like, let's go back to the Beis HaMedrash. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means, because it says the Ksav Sofer, it's telling you, watch. There's the reason why. Look how the goyim behave. Look how people behave when they get so emotionally worked up and so involved. They'll spend their last penny on whatever they have for this. They'll put in every kayach possible. They'll put in such a slavas gedola into whatever they can, into the world of Dimyon. Rabbi said we have to wake up and do the same for reality. Take a message from them. Or as I once heard from Schneebug from Edgeway, he said a beautiful idea. Vahu yimshal by the Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, I've forgotten the Lashon of the Pasuk, and I don't even have time to look it up, but the Pasuk says, what's the Lashon of the Pasuk, with regards to the Yitzhara, the snake, where the snake, what's the Lashon, Vahu yimshal, not Vahu yimshal, that's with the Isha.
Okay.
Huh?
After Tishifeni.
Yeah, yeah, I have to look it up. Anyway, I'm going to ruin the Andamato. Anyway, let me at least tell you the Ksav Sofer. Thank you. Ksav Sofer says, therefore, you have to take the kayach that you would have put into these stadiums, Kalkakois. What it means that these places are going to be turned into places of Bote Medrash is that we should realize, take all that kayach and be mahapich it into that which is real. Take the lesson of what we see around us, people investing their whole lives and so much kayach into literally Hevel HaVolim that they even know is fiction, it's not real. But if they're investing so much kayach into that, how much more so we have to invest our kayach into what is actually real? And just to conclude with that idea, if I can just find it in the Pasuk. Okay, that's right. I'll have to save for another time this word because I can't find it in the Pasuk. But the idea was, I've gotten the Lashon, I'm really sorry. Now the idea is, yes, no, that was Vuhuyim Shalbach, a similar Lashon that is used, and the drush is that you should use the Yitzhar as a mashal. The Lashon is mashal, I have to look it up again, and you should use Yitzhar as a mashal. In other words, see how he dedicates his whole life and everything he does, puts so much kayach into such nonsense. Look at that and learn from that. We should also invest our kayach into what's emes, and therefore we have to realize on a deeper level that Malchus is not in the world of sport, and it's not in the world of Dimyon. It's where it should be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. In these 9 days, the 3 weeks and the 9 days that we're going through, this is the time to cry for the Beis HaMikdash, to cry for what really is worth crying about, and to correct the Bechiyo Shel Chinom, and to be able to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back home to the Beis HaMikdash, and we should see his Kalos Kvod Shemayim and Hei Remeinu Amen. Thank you.